Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherders saw what had happened, they ran off and told the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave, for they were seized with great fear. So he got in the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So when I was preparing for this sermon today, I figured I would just do a simple Google search to see what other preachers had said on this subject. And as I clicked, I found this fantastic sermon by probably one of the best preachers I had ever heard. Now, this preacher was discussing the pigs and how much the loss of these pigs would have cost the community. You see, these pigs were worth over $1 million. And as I was listening to this fantastic preacher preaching probably one of the best sermons I had ever heard, it hit me. So I stopped, turned off my sermon from 3 years ago. There you go. And realized just how dangerous this text could be. You see, when we look at the pigs and the cost of these pigs, we become focused on making this text fit into what we want it to fit into. See, because if we say that the pigs belong to the Roman army because they answered Jesus, because the demons answered Jesus that their name was Legion, and the Legion went into those pigs, and Legion was also a term users of a certain number in the Roman army, well, obviously they had to be Roman pigs, right? Then this text becomes an anti-government political text that we use to declare whoever is in power of whatever country we want to preach against that Jesus gave us this permission to do that because of these pigs. Or if we say that these pigs belonged to a very wealthy individual, and as some scholars go as far to suggest, it could have been a Jewish individual who was raising pigs away in secret because, you know, Jewish people are not supposed to have pigs, so they're considered unclean animals. Well, then we get this text where Jesus is giving us permission to rally against the rich, especially if they are doing something we don't believe in. Or if these pigs belong to the community, Jesus is giving us permission to call out an entire community for their treatment of one individual because Jesus was clearly punishing this community for allowing this man to continue to be possessed by demons. You see, but the problem with all of these is that the focus is on the pigs and not on the man with the demons. You see, this text is not a tragedy about the death of a bunch of pigs, but really a story about the power of Jesus and Jesus' love for us and Jesus willing to overcome these barriers to heal this man who was possessed. See, in the story, there's three things Jesus had to do that were out of the norm. First, Jesus had to leave his home country. Now, here's a little tip that whenever you're reading the Bible, if you see the phrase, Jesus got in the boat and crossed a lake, most of the time, Jesus is going somewhere where the Jewish people wouldn't have been as accepted. So that was number one. Jesus was going where a Jewish person probably was not accepted. Number two, this man was sleeping in the tombs. Now, besides the fact that dead bodies just creep me out in general, this would have been considered vastly unclean in that world to associate yourself with anyone who was in tombs, in graveyard work, in any of that, like, undertaking jobs. So that was two. And three, Jesus dealt with pigs. There was pigs hanging out on the hillside. Jesus very easily could have ignored the pigs, could have told the man with demons, no, those pigs are considered unclean based off our laws. I don't want to be associated in this area. But instead, Jesus broke through not one, not two, but three barriers in order to heal this man with this demonic spirit. This text is directly challenging us to do the same in our lives. It's directly challenging us to break through the barriers that we are not comfortable with, that our neighbor might look at us and say, don't go to that part of town because that's the bad part. Don't associate with these people because those are bad people. But instead, this text is telling us to look at these barriers and to go through them. In fact, let me tell you a story about someone who did just that. Now, there's this man who looked and saw that there was a large amount of Ku Klux Klan members in his area. And he said, well, that's not good, right? Racism's bad. What the KKK believes in is bad. I don't support it. And instead of just getting on his phone and tweeting or posting a very angsty Facebook post about these bad KKK people, he decided instead he was going to start befriending them. So he went on and he started to befriend Klan members. And because of this one individual, over 200 people have left the Ku Klux Klan. You see, an individual is doing exactly what Jesus told us to do. And I know that there's probably some flags going up in people's heads saying, well, I can't do that because X, Y, and Z, because I fear about this or that, or because of the way I look or think or act, or because of the way they look or think or act. But let me conclude the story. This man's name was Daryl Davis. Now, Daryl Davis is not any ordinary man. You see, Daryl Davis is a black man. A black man was able to befriend the Ku Klux Klan with members who would be willing to kill him on sight for the color of his skin. And he was willing to risk that. He was willing to risk death to show Christ's love. So I ask you, what's your excuse? Because, you know, I don't think it's going to be as good as possible death. So now back to that really awesome, fantastic sermon that I heard about this text before. That preacher spoke to the community. You see, that was the weekend after the Pulse nightclub shooting. And that preacher thought it was important for the community to hear that the LGBTQIA plus community should be loved and accepted within the church. That community needed to simply tell people in their lives that they are loved. And you know what? This community does a fantastic job of that. But what the preacher from that sermon will say to this community is this community does a terrible job welcoming everyone. You see, we do a good job welcoming those who look like us, think like us, act like us. But God forbid someone walk in here wearing a political t-shirt for the candidate we don't agree with. That person would immediately be ostracized. We would not go up and greet them, and they'd probably be the topic of coffee hour for the next few weeks to come. You see, what Jesus is telling us in this text is that it's not easy to break down these barriers, but when you step out of your comfort zone to those people you normally would not associate with, to those people with different political opinions than our own, to those people that we would look at on the news and say, well, they're kind of a whack job and I would never talk to them in real life. Those are the people Jesus is telling you to break down multiple barriers to talk to. Jesus is saying, go out of your way to show Jesus's love. You see, we have this fantastic gospel. We have Jesus. And 3 years ago, I was able to preach on that, this community. I was able to preach that all members are welcome in the church. And that's what that community needed to hear. And you know what? This time around, we still have Jesus. So this community needs Jesus for something different. This community needs Jesus to branch out, to get out of our comfort zone, to not talk so much about those people who might have voted differently than us, but to look at people and say, regardless of how you voted, I am going to befriend you. You see, it's time for this community to step up in the greater Pittsburgh community. It's time for this community to not just be the people of St. Andrew who comes together one Sunday, but rather the people of St. Andrew that in another 20 years someone is using as their sermon illustration, much like I use Daryl Davis today. And you see, it's possible because Jesus shows us how.